Now go side.
Is there? I don't want to make things difficult for you, but I just can't. I can't see the Rav's face. That window. Can you move it? That the window's not behind you.
That's right. That's.
I can only shift the angle. Let's say, but then I don't know. Does that help?
No, that's a little more.
More.
You're right. Yes. A little more. You're right.
Okay, that's perfect.
I'm just afraid. Is that okay? I tell you, if one little plug gets disconnected, we're out. We're out of here. All right. So let's see if we can get started. Just by way of introduction, this topic is so appropriate for the period of time that we're in. We have Rosh Chodesh Av coming up just around the corner. The Gemara says in Yuma that the first base of Migdash was destroyed because of the three Averos Chaburos. And the Gemara asks, what about the Migdash Sheni? The people were dedicated to the study of Torah, to the mitzvahs, to Gemilas Chasodim, and Mai Chorev. And the Gemara says, "V'nei shahaisabo sinas chinam lelamdecha sheshkula sinas chinam kenegin shalosh averos." So, second Migdash and the Churban that we're experiencing up to this day is a result of sinas chinam, and that avera is equal in its weight and its severity to the three averos chamuros for which the first Migdash was destroyed. The Medrash says, and here we want to go back to Geula. Now, until now we're talking about Golus and Churban and Sinas Chinam as the cause. Now we want to flip around to the other side of the coin, and that is Geula. What generates or what makes us notorious and we deserve Geula? So we go back to the original Geula from Mitzrayim, and Chazal say, Bizchus that they were not in violation of speaking negatively, derogatorily, one to the other, one about the other. There were other elements in the equation as well. They were gedurim barayos. They were also dedicated to maintain their roots, their loshina shmam. But we're going to focus our attention on Shlohoya Bahem Lashon Hara. And what Amir Tzashem we want to learn today, which you'll see on the second page, is the Olos Ephraim. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us a very famous principle, Atem Kriyim Adam, V'ein Umos Ha'olam Kriyim Adam. And we're going to try to understand what is the significance of the word Adam, and why do Chazal identify the word Adam exclusively as referring to the Jewish nation? But before we get to that, is it coincidental that the parshios that we're reading during this time of the year are Matos and Masai? And the Shalom HaKadosh points out that one thing I can guarantee you, he says, these two parashiyos I can guarantee will always fall out during Bein HaMetzarim, during the 3-week period. That's Matos and Masai. And he points out that it's paradoxical because the subjects of Matos and Masai seem to be almost antithetical to this period of mourning, because in these parashiyos we're going to learn about the milchamos that we fight and we successfully victorious against our enemies. We're going to defeat Og and Sichon. We're going to defeat the Midjanim. And then following this, we're going to divide up Eretz Yisrael. This is the opposite of an Ace Ra'a. It would seem so inappropriate. Says the Shalah Pumfaker, Adrabi Makum Shabasa. These are the parashios of the Simcha, of the Moedim, for example, Parshas Pinchas, which almost always coincides with the beginning, or it's Erev, the beginning of the Bein HaMetzarim, and it's chock full of especially the Musaf of Moedim. So we're dealing with Simcha, we're dealing victorious battles against our enemies, entering into Eretz Yisrael. These are the subject matters of these parashios. And he says that the Yisodos here is that Hatzomos, that as Zechariah Novi promises us, that the fast days, Yishapchu L'moadim, that in Mirtz Hashem they will be converted, transformed into days of Sosam V'Simcha, and Yishapech Me Evel L'yontif. So that's why these parashios, which are chock full of Moadim and Simcha, they speak about the glory and the power of Eretz Yisrael and the people of Israel to conquer Eretz Yisrael. These are the appropriate parashios which give us a nechama, they give us consolation, they give us faith and hope for the future, that the avelus that we're experiencing now will be completely transformed into Moadim. And he adds another piece here which he discusses elsewhere, that in the divine plan, it's Dafka the Golus, the experience of exile that's built into the system, that's going to bring about the Geula. The Geula itself is inherent in the Golus. So if we're commemorating Golus during these 3 weeks, then we should speak and read and learn about the Geula, because the Golus itself is going to be the cause to bring about the Geula. And as he says so beautifully, the Tzomos, these fast days, and we're talking about fast days on Churban Habayis, will be converted into Moad. Now this leads us to our main topic for today, and that is being part of the Tzibur, being part of the Klal. Every individual is important, but that significance is very limited. And the Maharal Prague, in his Chidush HaGadol on Masechet Nedarim, says something that surprises us all. The Gemara tells us that a person should not take a neder. A neder means that in a sense he's being poresh from the tzibur, because the tzibur was given X number of mitzvahs, he now takes upon himself an additional mitzvah, an additional isur. So it's like someone who would be makriv a bama. And the bama is sort of like a private service, meaning he sets up an avoda for himself. So why is that a bad thing? And the answer is that we, says the Maharal, we should be all happy and satisfied to be part of the tzibur. A person who takes upon his neder, he's saying, you know, you take X number of mitzvahs. I have my own set of mitzvahs. I live on my own level. I'm not going to drink wine, even though wine is mutter. He's a poresh min haklal. And that's what a bona bama is. But let's read the end of the statement in the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara says, v'amakaymo, but if he fulfills his neder, is ki'ilu makriv olav karman. At this point, the Gemara seems to be taking an about face and saying, although we would not encourage you up front to take the neder, but if you did so, and then you went ahead and you were Makayim the Neder, you fulfilled the Neder, that's a great thing. You are Makriv a Karma. And here's where the Maharal comes up with the Chiddush. He surprises us. And he says the statement of the Gemara, it's actually Rav Nosson, from beginning to end, is negative, is pejorative. Hamakayimo kiyu hikrav ol abama. He says that Neder is the first stage of separating himself from the Klal. But then when he fulfills the neder and he experiences, he manifests a behavior pattern that's unique and special to him, he's makriv olav karban, he says that this is a further extension of being parish atzvim in a klal. Bad enough that he took the neder, but he manifests a certain behavior pattern. The way he lives his life is so different than the rest of the klal, as if to say, I'm different than the klal. So what does the Gemara mean when it says kilu hikrivol of bama, kilu hikrivol of, which sounds like the Gemara is being very positive and applauding his actions? Says the Maharal, no, it means kilu hikrivol of bama b'shas iser bamas, not b'shas heter bamas. And he seems to imply that the concept of the Beis Hamikdash, which generates an iser akrova b'bama, is what connects the tzibur together. And that's the idea that we want to develop today, that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is absolutely a reflection of our sinas chinam, of our not being part of the tzibur. As long as we're part of the tzibur, if a yachid links into the tzibur, he achieves the kaparas ha-tzibur. then the Beis HaMikdash is meaningful. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be that center point to which all of Klal Yisrael gravitate to become one united nation, one people of unity. But if a person decides during the time of the Beis HaMikdash that he's going to go out and build his own Bama, which is an absolute Issa Doraisa, he's being Porish Atzma Minat Tzibur. And the precious Minat Tzibur expresses itself not just in a neder, in a form of avoda, mode of servicing God that's very different than the Tzibur, but moreover, in the fact that he's undermining the Beis HaMikdash. So even though today you would say, well, there's no undermining the Beis HaMikdash because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but conceptually, he's undermining the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone who's Parish Minat Tzibur is absolutely attacking the Beis HaMikdash because that enterprise, that institution of the Beis HaMikdash represents all of Klal Yisrael together serving Hashem as one nation. How does this connect to Parshas Matos, the Parsha that we're going to read, one of the two this week? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a mandate to Moshe Rabbeinu to go out to battle against Midian. And why? Because that's called Nikmas Hashem. That's the way the Pasuk describes the mandate that Moshe receives. Nikmas Hashem. Why is that called Nikmas Hashem? One could have argued that that's an akama on behalf of Klal Yisrael. But the answer is, says Rashi, Lefisha Omdu Keneged Yisrael, when Midian, or any enemy, any adversary, stands up against the people of Israel, it's as if they stand up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're now talking about the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. You know, you could have a Jew, you could have a guy who hates a Jew, you know, he hates a particular Jew, but now we're talking about a nation that rises up against the Jewish people to try to undermine them. And that is already a merida keneged Hashem. So Hashem is now a baldover over here. He says, I want you to avenge my cover because they were undermining me. And that's why we say, by the way, in the bracha after Megillas Esther, HaRavas Rivenu, Vadonis Dinenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes our baldin. He stands there against our enemies, because any act of sinna against Hashem, against Klal Yisrael, is tantamount to sinna against Hashem. And now we want to take a look at the Gemara in Krisus, which further emphasizes the idea that we're all one nation, made up of different people, but we come together as one. And for this, we, in order to appreciate this Gemara in Krisus, we want to study a pasuk in Tehillim, Mizmar Shir Liasaf Elokim Al Damilach Al Techrash Al Tishkot Kel Ki Inei Oivecha Yemayun U'Misanecha Nasu Rosh. In other words, the whole thrust of this pasuk, of this perek, is the adversaries that rise up against the Klal Yisrael, and yet the pasuk calls them Oivecha. And we turn to Hashem and we say, you can't sit by silently. If the Midianim are attacking Klal Yisrael, then God, you're a baldover here. They are your enemies. They are your misanecha. And therefore, since al amcha yarimu sod, v'yisyatzu al tzfunecha, therefore al techash, v'al tishkot, al damilot, don't be silent. And this is all when Klal Yisrael are one nation. They are one people, connected by the Beis HaMikdash, connected by our dedication to Hashem and our love to each other. So the Gemara Krisus says that if you want to get a Titus Tzibur together, you have to have representation of every member, every part of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara derives that from the Ktores. The Ktores is made up of 13 Samar Manim, all of which except for one have a very fine fragrance. But the only exception is going to be the Chelbina. And that's very odd. The Chelbina's Recha Rad has a negative kind of smell, foul odor, and yet it has to be introduced into the Ketores, and in its absence, the Ketores is completely possible. So the Gemara says, "Kol Tainisha Ein Ima Miposha Yisrael," those who are sort of the, you know, the thorns in our side, the negative parts of members of Klal Yisrael, they're the Poshe Yisrael, they have to be there for the Tainis. We have to invite them in, and they have to participate. They become the Chelbina Jews, and without the Chelbina, the Ketores is possible. And it means that Klal Yisrael has to get together, and it means we have to have respect for even those who are Nebuch Poshe Yisrael. Now, this connection to the Tzibur is something that becomes central in the philosophy of the Ran. You know, the Ran lived about, say, 8-9 centuries ago, and he's famous, amongst other things, for his drashos. And in his drashos, he writes that there are two types of entities, so to speak. There's what he calls havayativ it, which is the natural order of man. And he says there's another entity, and that's the tzibur. He says on a natural level, you could say that man exists as an individual, but on a metaphysical level, he's got to become part of the tzibur. Klal Yisrael constantly emphasized the shvach of the tzibur. And we're going to see this over and over again in the works of the Chofetz Chaim, Mirtz Hashem. And then there's something called Moro'o Shalat Tzibur. We have to have an awe for the tzibur. As Chazal say, Li'olam Tehei Emas Tzibur Olecha. And we're going to see over and over again throughout Chazal that the great Nevi'im, and we go back to the Adonai Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu, were punished severely for not having this Emas Tzibur. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time of the Meimororim, he declares Shimuno Amorim. And the Rambam is very famous for embellishing this idea that Shimuno Amorim, Moshe Rabbeinu, was not justified in calling the people of Israel Morim, because they were allowed and they were permitted to ask for water. Says the Ran, Afal Pish Kol Echad V'Echad Mitzad Prat Yuso, if you look at the Prat, Lo Hayu Ro'u L'Zeh. In other words, he could take apart Klal Yisrael into its elements, and unfortunately, no one as an individual, as a separate entity, is royal shvach, is royal emes hatzibur. However, when we all get together and we're part of a tzibur, we gain a new level, a new status. And he quotes the Gemara in Kiddusha. The Gemara says, "V'chitem b'nei sichli lo mikri bonai." What happens if Hashem says, "Bonim atem"? Lashem Elokeichem, we're considered Bonim. But what if we become Boni Sichli? So there's one Mandiyom, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda, if I remember correctly, who says that once we are Sichli, which means we go off the path, we're no longer, we forfeit our rights to be considered Bonim. And yet the Gemara disproves Rabbi Meir from various Psukim, and this is where we pass in like Rabbi Meir, disproves Rabbi Yehuda, I meant to say, and we pass in like Rabbi Meir, that afal pisha shovim nikraim banim, afal pisha scholim nikraim banim, we continue to be called banim. Now that's not true of the yachid. If the yachid mitzad atzmo, he goes off, he veers from the path and he deviates, he doesn't have rights in and of himself to be called a ben. He's forfeited that right. Elamai mitzad hitztarfuso, says the Ran. If he connects to the klal, then he's kona this shvach, he gets this special status. And therefore, he says the Ran that it's very critical that each and every one of us sees himself as part of the, as a prat that's part of a klal. If he can link up to the tzibur, even if he himself is not roy, he's like the chelben a Jew, he says, the Chelben Abahu Soma in Sameach Torah, when it's integrated with the rest of Klal Yisrael, the other drugs or herbs of that make up the Torah, then that's a special schooler relationship, he calls it, which the Yochid, the individual, even though he's a Chelben, loses his Hefseid Reach, and instead he becomes part of the Shleimut, part of this whole entity. And I believe that this Ran is a source for the Rogatchev. The Rogatchev is famous for saying that the concept of tzibur is much more than just the sum total of the yechidim. And he uses a term which is called harkava mizugit. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but it means that there's a new entity that evolves or emerges when the tzibur emerges as a separate tzibur. And he says the tzibur is not just the sum total of all the pratim, but rather it's a new entity. And my Rebbe Zichron Avach, although he didn't quote the Rogatchev, but in the Tshuva Drash, he spoke about the kapara of Yom HaKippurim. According to Rebbe Yehuda Anossi says, Afal Pishu Chote, he didn't do Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper. So the Rav asks, how could it possibly be that Yom HaKippurim would be Mechaper if he's a Chote? And he said that there's a concept called a tzibur, that even though he's a chote, he's like this chelvin, a Jew, and mitzad atzmo, he's not roy for kapar siyom ha-kippur, but insofar as he's still a card-carrying member of Klal Yisrael, he's part of the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. Again, if he throws in the towel and he's porish min ha-tzibur, then forget it. Even Rebbe knows that he doesn't have, for example, there's certain averus that even Rebbe would agree he cannot have kapar for if he's chayv kores, because the Torah says v'nichrasa. But remember, we spoke about the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos establishes that when it says Adam, that is a specific reference to Klal Yisrael. And the question is why? We see this again and again. For example, in the Parsha of Mitzora, the Torah opens up the Parsha by saying Adam ki yeh ba'ar b'soro. And Chazal derived from the word Adam that the Parsha of Tzoras and the Goyim only applies to Klal Yisrael. It doesn't apply to the Goyim. So the Alshif, who lived a few good centuries ago, he says, why is Klal Yisrael being put on this level of Adam? What makes them so special that they're Adam? And why is the Tara process of Negoim depend upon a Kohen and only a Kohen? Says the Alshif, that Negoim come on a person because of the opposite of Shalom, the opposite of unity and peace. It comes for the Avera of Lashon Hara, Sugyan Erech. Now you could say the following, even the Umas HaOlam should have Negoim, because insofar as the cause of Negoim is Lashon Hara, then amongst the Goim, do we think there are no Bali Lashon Hara? So why is it that they don't suffer from Negoim, and the whole Parsha of Negoim is inapplicable, because the Torah says Adam? So the Alshich has a tremendous chidush here. He wants to say that the word Adam is distinct and singular for Klal Yisrael, because Adam means an entity, a nation, where the individuals all coalesce into one tzibur, one achdus, one shlemus. And he's going to explain why the word Adam has that meaning. And he says that Lashon Hara is so antithetical to that concept of Adam, which defines the essence and the unique nature of Klal Yisrael, that as a result of Lashon Hara, the Negoim come. Yisrael, he says, is Nishmosenu Chelek Aloka Mimal Chatzuvos Mimokom Echad. We all come from one spot, one place, one location, one entity. The source and the origin of Klal Yisrael is the same for every Jew. And that's called Chelek Eloka Mimal, Chatzuvos Mimokom Elokim, and Mokom Echad. And he says that that's why we have a Chiyuv of Ava and Shalom. So the entire Kiyum HaTorah, he says, depends upon this concept of one nation, of Adam. Now, why is the word Adam indicative of this concept? So he says the following. He says that there are many different words for a man, for a human being. There's Ish, there's Enosh, but those words can all come in Lashon Kodesh in the plural. Ishim, Anashim. He says the only word for man which can never come in the plural is Adam. You can't say Adamim. There's no plural of the word Adam. You can say Bnei Adam, but the word Adam itself always is in the singular. It never tolerates any ribui. And he says Adam means the achdus of all Bnei Adam. That you can't talk about many. As soon as you talk about many in the plural, you're dividing up the individuals one from the other. But when you talk about Adam as one entity, then you're talking about an absolute achdus. And he says that's Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Atem Kuyim Adam. The nations of the world are made up of distinct entities, individual people. And that could tolerate Pirud and Machlokes and even Lashon Hara. They could be separated. But Klal Yisrael, no. We are Adam. We are one. And he says that if a person is guilty of Pirud Machlokes of Lashon Hara, he in a sense separates himself from Adam, and therefore he's going to suffer these Negoim. What's the Takana for these Negoim? Behuva El HaKohen, El Aaron HaKohen. What is the meat of Aaron HaKohen? Aaron personifies Shalom. Achdus. Go and learn from Aaron. And in the flip side, we can add, Aaron himself is going to expose himself to the danger of going out of the Machnos in order to see and investigate the mitzora to see if possibly we could bring him back into, and why does he endanger himself? I mean, after all, leprosy is very contagious, but the answer is because Aaron represents Shalom, represents Achdus, and he's willing to put his life on the line for the sake of another Jew. So that's the parasha of Adam, ki yanega b'yar b'sara, v'huvel Aaron ha-Kohen. If we go back to the Gemara in Yevamos that we started with, therefore atem kriyim Adam, v'ein umos ha-olam kriyim Adam. So we're seeing over and over again the same thesis, the same theme, that the individual Jew has to be part of an entity called Adam, of a tzibur, that's indivisible. He gains his status, his shevach, from being part of that tzibur. He identifies with the tzibur. That tzibur is a representative, so to speak, of Hashem, and therefore the adversaries of the Jewish people are the adversaries of Hashem, and therefore we understand very well that the Beis HaMikdash is that location on the face of the earth where all of Klal Yisrael gravitates together to serve Hashem as one entity, because we really all come from the same origin, and therefore the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Chil Hashem. And as we said at the outset, it works in two ways. In one way, if you bust up Achdus, if it's anti-Shalom, and if there's Pirud and Lashon Hara, that's going to bring about Golus and Churban. But the flip side is that the Achdus will bring about the Geula. And that's the subject of this Olas Ephraim, which is number 12. Also, the author of the Kli Yakar, he's more famous for his Kli Yakar. And he's going to do an amazing amount of research to try to prove that Geula is totally dependent upon Achdus. And he begins his thesis by asking the question, why does Klal Yisrael deserve the Torah? Why is this nation singled out? And he says the following: God created the world, he chose this people, and he gives this people the Torah. He was not Mashri Shechina on any other people. Actually, the Ashras HaShechina begins in the Mishkan in the Dor HaMidbar. And the Dor HaMidbar, he says, is to be described as Belev Echad, the Shalom Beinehem. And this goes back to Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, and now the Chanoya of Klal Yisrael is Baguda Achas, one nation. And the Pasuk says Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, and he says the word Har is a code word for the Yetzahara, because Chazal say that the Yetzahara is Nimshal Kahar. You know, it's where we see the Yetzahara, we see it like a mountain that's so impossible to climb. And we, the people of Israel, are Kenegadar. And that's why we are Ru'uyim, we are fit and suitable for Kabbalah Satorah. Torah represents Shalom, called the Sivos says Shalom. And we are the people of Shalom, Ki Yishechad B'Lev Echad Baguda Achas Kenegadar. Against the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah tries to undermine our Shalom, our peace. But we in the Midbar, starting with Har Sinai, are able to overcome those temptations, those powerful forces of the Har, and we remain Kish Echad. And that's why we go out of Mitzrayim. He says it doesn't start with Kabbalah Satorah, it goes even back. Why are Klal Yisrael Nig'olim Mitzrayim? He says because of this Midah in the Schus of Shalom and Achdus. And he says that's why we find with regard to Gulas Mitzrayim that Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim because Lo Dibru Lashon Hara Zal Zeh. Later on, we're going to find at the time of Bavel that the Geula from Bavel is also as a result of the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, and the ultimate Geula, he says, at the time of Mashiach, will also be a result of Achdus. And he says the following, that He says, at the time of Gulas Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu is called upon Lech Esfa Es Ziknei Yisrael, gather together the elders of Israel. He says, what does this word Esfa mean? Esfa is Miloshan Asifa, and Asifa, he says, means the Agudah. When the Zikne Ha'am are Ne'esafim, they gather together in one assembly, it means Baguda Achas, then it's Veheshiv Lev Avol Salbonim Lev Ha'am Lehoreim, there's Achdus in the Aretz, and then we're ready for the Geula. So that's why we're Zochet to the Geula Mitzrayim. And he says in Geulas Bavel, it says by Ezra Vayasfu, again the word Asifa, Ke'ish Echad. At the time of Purim, Achashverosh, again it says Lech Kros Eskala Yehudim. And ultimately, as far as the Gula Sida, the Gula Achron, as he calls it, it says, Esof, Esof Yaakov, that I will gather together Jacob, and that's the key or the secret to Geul. Now he goes back to the parish of Asiyas HaPesach, a fascinating insight into the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, he says, which symbolizes our rights, our merit to be redeemed from Egypt, is Achdus. What's Achdus? We have to gather together. The pasuk says, "Bebayis echad ye'achel." We can eat the Korban Pesach in one bayis. We're not allowed to separate into chaburos and eat it in different chaburos. Everything requires that we eat it together. And not only that, he says, but the Korban Pesach has to be sholem. We're not allowed to break it apart and break its bones. Lo menutach. The matzah is also, he says, a symbol of achdus because it's pshuta. Pshuta means it's very simple. You know, when you talk about bread, that's ice kablos, and you know, it's all blown up. That's already something that separates one Jew from the other because this Jew feels, oh, he's more important than the next Jew. And therefore, in matzah, there's no sa'ar that would allow for the rising of the isa. There's no melach. There's no other admixtures of anything else. It's matzah, pshuta. That pashtus means we're all together. We're all embracing each other, you know, if on one level. And he suggests that that's what it means, shaloshinu eshmam. Why are we taken out of Egypt according to one medrash? We didn't change our language. He says, what's the great schus of not changing our language? And he says that this phrase in Chazal, Shaloshinu Hashemav, is a code word for the mid of shalom and peace amongst the Jewish people. That we are called Klal Yisrael in the language of Shlomo Melech and Shir Hashir, we are called the Shulamit. Shulamit, Shuvi Shuvi HaShulamit, is Miloshen Shalom, and that's the word that the Tanakh uses to describe Klal Yisrael, because Shalom defines the very essence of our people. And he goes on to say the same shtickle Torah here that we saw before in the Al Shich. I'm not sure who came first. And all this leads to the end of the right column where he says that the only name for man that cannot tolerate a plural form is Adam, because there's no such thing as Adamim, Beloshen Rabim. And that's the Achdus HaPshuta, that's the Sod of Klal Yisrael. And he says that if you look in Yechezkel HaNavi, when he describes the Mara Yechezkel, it says, Al Dmus HaKise Ra'isi Dmus Kemara Adam. Why does Yechezkel describe Klal Yisrael in the vision of Yechezkel as an Adam? And the answer is because we are called Adam with Achdus. We are the people of Shalom. We are the Ummah that get together, Ki Yishech and Belevech. And if for most of you don't think that's true, then you understand why we haven't been Zochet to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And he goes on to say something fascinating, that with regard to Esav, as representative of the Ummah HaOlam, it says, Nefashos Beisav. Now, it's very interesting that Afal Pishayim is say Mispar. So what's the Eitzah? Wait, well, let me just get the Kasha. In the case of Yaakov, it says, Kol Nefesh Sheba Mitzrayma. Now, I don't know what the Afal Pi Shehayim is saying. I don't know what the Afal Pi here is. Nefashos Beso. Maybe he's asking on the word Beso. I don't know, I'm not sure. But in any event, he contrasts Esau with Yaakov. With regard to Yaakov, the Torah uses the language of singular. It says nefesh, right? The shivim nefesh, yoredu mitzrayim. It doesn't say shivim nefashos. But the word nefashos is very common with regard to Esav, the Umas HaOlam. And he says the reason for this is because the word nefesh indicates achdus, and that's Klal Yisrael. So the word nefesh, described the nation of Israel, is unique, singled out exclusively for Klal Yisrael. With regard to the Umas HaOlam, it's nefashos. And this sheds an unbelievable light on a pasuk that says, Goy Echad B'yaretz. We assume that Goy Echad B'yaretz means that we're a great nation on the face of the earth. He says, no, it goes much beyond that. The Echad represents the fact that we are one people united, the Achdus. Number two, that we have Kel Echad, we're all dedicated to one God. And number three, we have Torah Achas, one Torah. Then he adds another thing here. He says that the Migdash, the base of Migdash, is also called Echad. There's only one Migdash. But not that there's only one, but it's unique, it's singular, it's one entity that's indivisible. And that's what it means that Klal Yisrael were redeemed because Shaloshinu Eshmam. It means that they retain that shame. What shame? The shame Adam. That's what it means, Shaloshinu Eshmam. Not that they didn't change their language and they didn't speak Egyptian, but it means that they didn't change the name Adam, because Adam is a code word for Achdus. And that name was given to them when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim. It was Nefesh, and Nefesh in the singular. And the pasuk describes the future of Klal Yisrael. L'chu chizu mefalos Hashem. Does anybody remember where this pasuk is? I didn't get a chance to look it up. Asher sam shemos ba'aretz. So Chazal tell us, al tikri shemos el shmos. In other words, if this pasuk is telling us how we're going to defeat our enemies, and shamos ba'aretz means that we're going to make desolate our enemies, we're going to just decimate them. And why? Because shame, because the shame. What is the shame? The shame means the shame Adam, the shame Nefesh. That's what's going to give us the possibility of success in our battles. See, you know, I'm thinking out loud. You know, a lot of people here where I come from are thinking, what can we do to protect the Chayalim? And the yeshiva world here in Israel has taken upon itself the philosophy that the study of Torah will protect us. Well, what about those who are not capable of studying Torah? Or they simply don't have the training or the upbringing to study Torah. So what can they do for Klal Yisrael? We understand what the Chayalim are doing on the front. What can we do? And it seems to me that we have to create organizations that will create Achdus in Klal Yisrael, because that's what's going to save us. That shame Echad that we have of Achdus, that unique dimension of the Tzibur, that's what's going to protect us. And in Mitzrayim, since there was Sholem Beinayim Lo Dibru Lashon Hara Zel Zeh, they were Ruuyim LeGeula. And this is the secret that he says at the Bris Bein HaMesorim that Avraham Avinu received. God revealed the secret. He says to him, Kachlecha Egel Mishuleshes. The Egel represents the Umos HaOlam. Mishuleshes means cut them into different pieces. And then Hashem shows Avraham Avinu the Tzipor. And the pasuk says, "Vesatzipor lo basar." Now, it's all the animals that were brought; they were cut and sliced, but not the tzipor. Says the Kli Yakar that the Umas HaOlam are symbolically represented by the agola, by the egla, the a's, the isle. And he has also midrashim for that. They are mifuzarim, mifuradim; they're split. That's basar. But he says that tzipar is a remnant to Klal Yisrael, and a tzipar lo basar means they have to be baguda achas, belev echad, and that, he says, is the sibas kiyumam. Very heavy language. He says, what gives us the ability to maintain ourselves and to continue to exist? It's the achdus, the aguda achas, the tzipar lo basar, and that's God's promise to Avraham Avinu, that when he asks, b'meh eid ha-kiyarashena, how do I know that the people of Israel will live to all eternity and they'll inherit the land? And the answer is because Hatzipor, Hatzipor lo bosa. The one who takes this concept to its extreme is the Chofetz Chaim. And what you have in front of you here is pages and pages, paragraphs upon paragraphs of the Chofetz Chaim. And in each paragraph he adds another little, how should I say, an insight or another dimension to the concept of Achdus. And what the Chofetz Chaim is going to prove, and we saw some of this already at the beginning of our discussion, when we spoke about the Ran in the Drasha Saran, that the Ran says that even the Adon HaNeviah, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, was punished when he said Shimu Na Hamorim, because basically he was attacking the Klal, the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, and that's something that Hashem has no tolerance for. And we're going to soon see that Yeshayahu HaNavi dies a very gory an ugly death. I don't know what word can you use if you can help me. And the reason for that is that Yeshayahu said the wrong thing about Klal Yisrael. Now you'll see that the various paragraphs of the Shmiras HaLashon here are divided up into two chapters. There's Perek Vav and Perek Zayin. Let's go backwards for a second and fast forward to Perek Zayin. Here, the Chofetz Chaim speaks, as we said before, about the absolute prohibition and the zero tolerance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective of being Malamid Choval Klal Yisrael. In general, we have to be Malamid Zchus. But when it comes to the Prat, okay, it has one level and it's certainly significant, but when it comes to the Klal, it's on a whole different level. It's qualitatively different. He calls it a Malamid Choval Klal Yisrael is a Chet Gadol Ad Ma'ot. And I don't think the Chofetz Chaim uses that language as a hyperbole very often. And he speaks about Yeshayahu HaNavi. I'm stalling a little because I'm trying to find that paragraph. If anybody sees this paragraph where he speaks about Yeshayahu HaNavi, okay, I guess it'll come up as soon. But first he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, as we saw before, except he quotes a different chazal. You found it?
Source 15.
Which paragraph is it?
Right, the first, it seems to be stuck right at the beginning there.
Oh, right at the beginning. Okay, that's why I didn't see it, because it's right at the beginning. Okay. He says, Re'eina b'Yeshayahu HaNavi, Yeshayahu Navi, when he sees the Kvod Hashem, it's God reveals himself and he's in awe, and he says something that's very bad. Oili ki nidmesi ki ish tmeis vasayim anofi. Now, if he calls himself a tmeis vasayim, then l'chora, the next sentence is not so bad, because he says, betoch am tmeis vasayim anofi yoshev. That I'm living amongst the tmeis vasayim. So when he says, betoch am tmeis vasayim, that's not really he didn't have a deliberate intent, says the Chofetz Chaim, to humiliate Klal Yisrael, because he says about himself in the same pasuk that ish tmeitz vasayim anochi. He really only meant to say that I don't deserve the Shechina, not for my own merits, for sure, and he puts himself down. But not only that, you might say, says Yeshayahu Novi, maybe I deserve to see the Shechina because of the merits of Klal Yisrael. Well, they don't. So we manafshach, they're not on this level. Now, what's the punishment to Yeshayahu HaNavi? So if you take a look at the Gemara in Yevamos, which is number 14, the Gemara tells us about Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that he was the murderer of Yeshayahu. I don't know if he himself, used the javelin, but he had Yeshayahu put to death. And Rava says that basically what Menashe did, this very, very evil king in Israel, is that he judged Yeshayahu, and he found him on three counts guilty of kfira. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki lo yirani hodem v'chai, and Yeshayahu prophesizes, Eres Hashem Yoshev al kisei rav nisa. How could that be? He's contradicting Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyone who's makfish the Torah is a kofir. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Mi kashem elkeinu b'chol koreinu elav," that wherever you call to Hashem, He's always there. Yeshayahu says, "Dir Hashem bihi matzo," only when he'll be found. Again, kfira. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Es mispar yomecha male," meaning that everyone has exactly a designated amount of time that they'll live, to the day, to the moment. And Yeshayo says to his father Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he says to him, "Hosafti olecha yomecha chameishrei shana." Now, as a result of these three accusations, the king, Menashe, decides to issue a verdict that Yeshayo has to be put to death. Yeshayo himself says, "I know exactly the answers to all of his questions. However, I would rather that he put me to death as a shogeg than as a mazig." What do I mean? Yeshayo knows that no matter what explanations he gives and what defenses and reinterpretations, nevertheless, Menashe is such an evildoer, he's so rotten to the core, he's going to put me to death. The only difference is that right now he's fooled himself into thinking, kaviyachol, that I deserve to be killed. And therefore, he's a shogeg. Again, a knapper shogeg, if you think of it. But if I were to tell him the answers to all his claims and I would defend myself, he'd become amazing, because he's going to put me to death in any event. So I would rather that he be a shogeg than make him into amazing. In any event, what happens? Yeshayo HaNavi, once the verdict is issued, he runs away. And a mess happens, and he's swallowed up by an Erez tree. And the messengers, the shluchim of the king, are looking for Yeshaya and Nasruah. They start cutting down the trees. I don't remember exactly how they knew that he was in the tree, but in any event, at what point does he die? So the Gemara tells us, ki mata lahadi fuma, as they're cutting down the tree, when it reached his mouth, that's when Yeshayo died. Nach nafsha. And why? And the Gemara says, why the mouth? Because he enunciated the words, B'toch am tomei svasai manochi yoshev. In other words, because he was motzi ra, a dibur ra, malamid chovon klal Yisrael, even though again he didn't mean it exactly in that way, but therefore he died at the mouth, so to speak. And Moshe Rabbeinu makes a declaration, Tarbus anoshim chatoim. As a result, he's punished, and Shmuel, who's a very bad guy, is a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he quotes a Gemara in Pesachim, Maidetziv, the Poskim Mishle says, Al Talshen, Eved El Adonov Dar Aviv Yikalel Vesimolo Yevarech. And what it means is that even if the Dar is a Dar that Chas V'Shalom is Mekalel Aviv, which probably is a reference to Hashem, and Imo Lo Yivarech doesn't have much good words for his mother as well, nevertheless, Al Tal Shinu El Adonav, don't go back to his master and tattle on him. And the master here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even when Klal Yisrael are off, way off the derech, nevertheless, we're enjoined from being Malshin Aleihem. And he quotes the Sefer Charedim, who says, you remember the parasha of the Arba'ah, the Arba'ah Mitzorayim in Malachim Beis. I'm sorry, this is the parish of also Malachim Beis of Gehazi, and the whole story over there. And it says that the Shlish was Nenash, because he said, Hine Hashem Osa Rubos HaShamayim Hayia Hadover Hazeh. Now what does that mean? Does it mean that Hashem can't open up the Shamayim? But rather, this is what the declaration of the Shlish was. He said, "Vade Hashem Yochalas Osach Hador Hazeh." This generation, Arubos Hashemayim, is like the Dor HaMavol, and they're roy for the Arubos Hashemayim to open. That's why they're a bunch of evildoers, and that was the Malshinus. That was the Don L'Kaf Chova of this individual, and therefore he was put to death. Elisha Novi says, Lefisha Limeid Kidigori Al Klal Yisrael, therefore Lo Yochal. He's not going to survive this famine, and he's going to die. Anyway, the most important paragraph here, I think, in this entire presentation is on the left side, and it starts with the word Mikol Zeh. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Godel Zehirus, how careful we have to be, Tzarkol Adam Lizar Benafsho. Milamed choval klal Yisrael. Now people don't pay attention, and they make all sorts of statements. Jews are this, and Jews are that. Jews say it about themselves. The Adorama, he says, no, he's got to go to train himself. La'orer rachmim, always to look for the schus of klal Yisrael. You know, if I was closing my eyes, I would say it's Rav Levi Yitzchak Raditchev who's talking here, but it's the Chofetz Chaim. And he says if he's melamed schus on klal Yisrael and he's ma'orer rachamim, then he becomes ohuv v'chaviv l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if to say, God says you're praising my beloved, then I love you. But what I really wanted to get to, if we have another few minutes, and if you have to go, you have to go, is on page 4. And here we have a Gemara in Zvachim about David HaMelech. And you'll see that in number 17. David HaMelech is Mekadesh, the Ritzvah HaZara. And the Sugya in Masechta Shavuos goes through all the details, how he's Mekadesh, the ear, and the Migdash, and the Ritzvah, and so forth and so on. But the Yerushalmi says that what gives David the status to be Mekadesh the Beis HaMikdash? After all, that was left for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. And he says the answer is that amongst the various conditions necessary for Kiddush HaZara, one of them, we know Navi and Ur Vitum, Sanhedrin Ayin Aleph and so forth, but one of them is Melech. And David, insofar as he was a Melech, and then he had God who was a Navi, he had the Sanhedrin, and he was able to consult with the Urim V'tumim, but David as Melech was Mekadesh the Azara. And we said before at the outset that the Beis HaMikdash is the place where all of Klal Yisrael gravitates to become one nation, undivided. So why is the Melech so critical? Why does he have the authority to be Mekadesh the Mikdash, as in the case of David? And the answer lies in one of the most famous statements of the Rambam, and I'm not exaggerating, the Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Gimel, when he speaks about all the special prohibitions that apply to a melech, he says the following, that if he gets married to too many women, I think he's allowed up to 18, check me out if I'm right about that, then if he goes beyond that, the Pasuk says that the women will cause him the melech hasaras libo, lo yosur levava. And here's where the Rambam waxes dramatic about the lave of the melech. And he says, Shalibu hu lave kol kahal Yisrael. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he, the melech, has to be dedicated, his lave, to Klal Yisrael. He can't be distracted by too many women who will be Yasser Levavo. His lave is the lave of Klal Yisrael. It's like the whole pulse of the entire nation of Israel pulsates with the heart of the melech. Not like any other member. So the tzibur concept now that we spoke about over and over again is focused, is concentrated on the melech. His lave is the lave of Klal Yisrael. And he, the melech, is going to be Mekadesh the Migdash, because the Migdash, in terms of location, is going to be the lave of Klal Yisrael. As the Gaon points out, this is the last source on your page in his commentary on Shir HaShirim. He says the following, that the Torah commands us to build a Mishkan. It says V'yosuli Migdash V'shachanti B'socham, and he says the following, that Shriyas HaShchina, that the Shchina is B'toch Lev Yisrael, the Lev of Yisrael. The Lev of Yisrael represents the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, the Aguda Achas that we spoke about. But we need one place, one location on the face of the globe where all of Klal Yisrael gravitate to that location. He says Amakom Amyuchad Le'Achdus L'Skansus, like Esfali. And where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose this place? Number one, Eretz Yisrael, which is the choicest of all nations, of all lands. And number two, in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Makom HaMuchan LaShos HaShchina. And the Gaon goes on to say, which is so much reflects of everything that we've been discussing, the Eich Yisiyachdu Kol HaLevavos Shall Kol Yisrael B'Yachad. How do we achieve this integration, this unification of all the hearts of all Klal Yisrael together? Is that's called the Yikluli Truma. Everyone contributes to the building of the Migdash, and it's got to be Asher Yidvenu Libo. He's got to put his lave into the Nedava. Everyone who's Misnadev, it's Kefi Nidvas Libo. And therefore we set up the lev, which is the makom ha-muvcha, which is the place of Ashras HaShchina, which is the one achdus, which the Gaon describes as a makom ha-miyuchad l'skansus Yisrael, and yisyachdu kol ha-levavo shel kol Yisrael v'yachad, v'nischavru sham, there in the Mishkan, through the nidvas libo of every individual, we have a nischavru sham ha-levavos. So we take this Gaon and all that we saw in the Chofetz Chaim, we take it back to the beginning, and we talk about the fact that according to the Shalom, we read those parashios that have within it, within them, a simcha, a moed, a kiyum of entering into the land of Eretz Yisrael, of the various matos and so forth and so on, which is the opposite of the ra. Then basically the message is that if we want to experience and achieve this day of Moed, of Yishapech HaYomim Eilu Me'avelus L'yantav, then what we need is not to be makriv of each one his own bama, but rather to be part of an entity called the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. The more we link up to that entity, speak in its Shevach and praise it, the more we are worthy of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the center of the gravitational pull of all Klal Yisrael, and our enemies will be defeated, because they are not just enemies of us as Jews, they are enemies of Klal Yisrael. So I want to end with a tefillah. Wait, one just second. Let's stop for a second. We didn't go back to the Shmiras Halosh of the Chofetz Chaim back at the beginning in the Shara Tefuna Perek Vav. And he says the following, that he sees in the Yerushalmi a very important concept. The Smag quotes it, that Kemoshim Hayaholich Baderech, and the nikfa ravo, let's say one part of his body got caught, you know, one leg, and as a result he falls in the ground and he gets injured in his face, also in that leg that got caught up and that tripped. He says, would it be a havamita, and would the thought cross his mind that he should take revenge, you know, he should take revenge against that regal, and he shouldn't allow any sort of ripui, any sort of process of curing that regel. He says he has no hatred against that regel. The regel is part of himself. It's his goof. It's all one inyan. There's no ischalkus here. He says that's a mashal for how we have to view our fellow Jew. And he says, let's say I have a Jew who didn't do me a good thing. I asked him for something and he refused. He didn't do me a favor. Maybe even did something negative to cause me anguish. He says, can I take nekima and netira? Can I take revenge against him? Can I harbor hatred against him? Who is he? Is he something foreign? Is he alienated? We all come from one shoresh, he says. Mikamcha Yisrael goy echad baaretz, as we said. It's the echad. It's we're one. We're one entity. And as we said, called nefesh, Habal Beis Yaakov, it's one nefesh. It doesn't say nefashos. It teaches us that all the nefashos of Klal Yisrael are considered one nefesh. And up in the origin, they are one nefesh. And even though each individual is an individual unto himself, but there is something called the Klal, he says. And as a Klal, we are Ish Echad. Ish Echad, that's divided up into different Evarim, like a body that has many limbs. We have the head, we have the heart, we have other limbs like the hands and the legs, but they all have one shoresh. They all belong to one goof, one entity. And so too, we're all part of Klal Yisrael. And that Klal Yisrael is an entity which is tachas kisei hakavod. And although in this world we live in a physical world where we're separated, different anofim, different branches, different trees, but nevertheless we are really one. Up in Shemayim, we're really one. And that's why the Chazal very often say that if a person does an Avera, he has an impact on all of Klal Yisrael, because it's all one goof. And if a person has a limb that's hurting, then the whole body is going to feel discomfiture. Even if there's a cave, in, you know, it's more concentrated in one limb, but nevertheless it spreads throughout the entire. So the kevim and the pain and the suffering is spreads out, it permeates through the entire body. And that's why the Medrash says, Se Pizura Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael are always symbolically represented by a Se. Says the Medrash, Ma Darko Shel Se Loka V'yechad Mevar V'kulam Argishim. If the Se is felt, you know, feels some sort of pain in one of its limbs, then all the limbs feel it. Is Af Yisrael Echad Chotev Kulam Ne Noshim. And he quotes a Brice of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who says, Mashal Ibnei Adam Shal Yubayim B'Svina. Imagine that people draw, they're in a boat together. So one of them takes a Makdeach and he starts boring a hole in his side. And he said, wait, what are you doing? What do you care? It's in my side. I'm doing it under me. I'm not doing it under you. So of course they laugh at him. They say, we're all in the boat together. And this is also the Medrash in Shir Shirim on the Poskel Ginas Egoz Yeradity, that Klal Yisrael are compared to the Egozim, you know, the round walnuts, and they're piled up one on the other, but if you pull one out from the bottom, they all fall down, they all collapse. And he says that in the name of the Tanit Be'elio, Bnei Yisrael are represented, or symbolically, the metaphor like a kerem. The Pasuk Yeshayo compares Klal Yisrael ki kerem Hashem Tzvakus Beis Yisrael. And Rabbi Lozar Godel used to say that Beis Yisrael are karmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now a kerem is always something that's very, very valuable, very sensitive. You have to treat it with kid gloves, you know, don't trample on it and so forth. So, but how much more so on a kerem of Klal, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is God's vineyard. Klal Yisrael is being called God's vineyard. Do you hear that? And therefore, says Rabbi Lozar Godel, Al Tolitzbo, don't look at him, meaning look at him in a bad, evil way. He's an untouchable. Don't you should have awe of a Jew, and certainly of the Jewish people. And Imi Tzatzbo, if you already went ahead and you looked at him, Al Terid Litocho, don't start up with him. And Im Yoradit Litocho, Al Tehenu Vimenu, Im Nenesu Vimenu, Al Tocho Viperosu, Imi Tzatzbo, Yoradit Vimenesu, Yachaltu Vipirio, Sofashal Ishli Karis Minoam. We have to be very careful not to chas v'shalom undermine a Jew or humiliate a Jew, not to see a Jew in a bad light with an ayin ra. And he quotes the Zohar HaChadosh. It's amazing how much bekiyus the Chofetz Chaim has, you know, in Midrashim, in Zohar. Amar Rabbi Akiva, he says, Af al gav da'avi tzadika rabbi mikol alma v'yemer bisha karam karam akud shabrichu. If a person, even though he's a tzaddik, but he comes to complain in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam about a certain Jew, so Daltaron al Yisrael, he says bad things, pejorative things about Klal Yisrael, his own she sagi mikulon, terrible punishment. And the only time that Eliyahu HaNavi was punished is because he spoke Daltaron al Klal Yisrael. It says there, Vayabet v'hinei marashos of ugas ritzofim. What's ritzofim? And he says, Daltarin al Bnei Yisrael. All this is because the holiness and the special level of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, and each individual of Klal Yisrael should be Ma'or Rachbim al Klal Yisrael, speak always Chus on Klal Yisrael. By the way, the same is pretty much true about Eretz Yisrael. As we said before, in the name of the Gaon, the Eretz Yisrael is the chosen place for the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. So here's my bracha to you and to me and to all of us. Let's create these organizations of Avos Yisrael. And that's the way we want Mashiach. Now that's the way we can bring Mashiach. Because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we weren't Adam. We didn't behave as an Adam, which is our name. We were Mashana Shmam Chas V'Sholom. But if Shalom is Shana Shmam and we still maintain the status of Adam, then the Avos Chino will rectify the Sinus Chino, and instead of Churban Abayis, there'll be Binyan Abayis, B'meir B'yomeinu, Amen.